بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل، أفإن مات أو قتلا انقلبتم على أعقابكم، أفإن مات أو قتلا انقلبتم على أعقابكم، ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. أطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. In order for us to understand the event which precipitated the martyrdom of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura, we have to review and study the history of Islam right from the beginning. Tonight, I'll do my best to mention these events, because there was a chain of events which led and culminated into the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. It did not begin one or two days before Ashura. It began 50 days before the day of Ashura in the year 61 Hijri. The first 100 years of Islam, the first century of Islam, was characterized by three important wars. The first one was led against the Prophet, the second against Imam Ali, and the third one against Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The first war was the war of paganism, the Jahiliyyah, polytheism, the mushrikeen. And the hero there was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who stood and defended Islam and brought this religion to the masses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Prophet. The Prophet has been exemplified in this verse, very short verse. But it says a lot about his history. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We sent you only to be guidance, blessing, mercy, salvation to the masses, to the whole universe, not only to the Muslims, to the whole universe, to humans and jinns, both. And Rasulullah, with his good qualities, Some of them have been mentioned in the Quran. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Your moral standing is so great, beyond description. In fact, one of the Jews came to the city of Medina after the departure of the Prophet during the time of the second Caliph, asking about the qualities and the traits of the Prophet. So they led him to Imam Ali. At that time Imam Ali was sitting in the mosque. This Jew came to Imam Ali and he said to him, I want you to describe to me the qualities of your apostle, your prophet. Imam Ali said to him, it's impossible for me to describe him. He's limitless. He's beyond description. I'm not able. If Allah says, he said to the man, if you can describe for me mata'u ad-dunya. Mata'u ad-dunya. The man said, I cannot describe for you mata'u ad-dunya, the fantasies of this world. Imam said to him, the Quran says about mata'u ad-dunya, the fantasies and the glamour of this world are so limited. Qaleel. Mata'u ad-dunya qaleel. And you cannot do that. And you want me to describe the qualities, the moral standing of my leader, of the apostle of God? This is impossible for me. Beyond description. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا, a witness, وَمُبَشِّرًا, bearer of a glad tidings, وَنَذِيرًا, and warner, وَدَاعِيًا, preacher to Allah, وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ, and then lastly, وَسِرَاجًا, and lamp, spreading light and mercy and compassion, even to his enemies, the only prophet in the history of mankind who did not invoke the wrath of God upon his community was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. All other previous messengers, at some point in their life, they were frustrated. They asked God to send his curse. Nuh alayhi salam, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. I want you to punish them all. Do not let anyone survive in this community. But when it comes to Prophet Muhammad, he says, إِنَّمَا أُرْسِلْتُ لَمْ أُرْسَلْ لَعَانًا وَإِنَّمَا أُرْسِلْتُ رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. My prime message and my prime goal is to be mercy, to save the people. People who stoned him. People who threw him out of his city and his town and chased him to Medina, prosecuted him and his companions. He still refrained from cursing them. He was a blessing to the entire mankind. This is our prophet. Today, some evangelical leaders in America and Europe, they call the prophet an evil and this book an evil book. The Prophet was not about evil. I tell them, if you see bad things within the Muslim community, you should not attribute that to Prophet Muhammad and Islam. We have many murderers among the Christians and the Jews, but we do not say that Christians and Jews are murderers. We respect you, so respect our faith. Our Prophet is the Prophet of mercy and a blessing. Come and study Islam. Read the Quran. Read the tradition of Rasulullah and you would realize that he was nothing but mercy. However, the Prophet faced many challenges. And he suffered for a long time by his own, members of his own community. The elites, the oligarchy of Quraysh, they tortured the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the people who spearheaded this campaign, this crusade of torture and opposition and fighting against the Prophet was a man by the name of Abu Sufyan, Sakhr ibn Harb. His name is Sakhr ibn Harb, Abu Sufyan, from day one. And I will come to this point at the end, inshallah. I will elaborate on it. But at the end, despite all the challenges, for 23 years, 10 years in Mecca, 13 years in Medina, at the end, the Prophet, the beloved Prophet, accomplished and achieved his main goals. He transformed this community, community which was based on revenge and killing and bloodshed, community which killed their own children with their own hands. A father, when he receives a daughter, he doesn't like her. If you read the history of Islam, one of them was the second caliph. He tells his own story to the Prophet. He says, I came home and I saw my wife before I embraced Islam, having a baby girl. I didn't like her. I took her with me and I buried her with my own hand. Another man comes to Rasulullah. He says, O Prophet, I had 15 girls. All of them I buried them. All of them with my own hand. Infanticized. Such a society. The Prophet transformed them. At the end of this, his life, the Quran calls them, describes them as the best nation. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Because of the sacrifice of the Prophet, because of his patience, steadfastness. He was unwavering in his message. He terminated the feud. Imagine two tribes. One, the Roman king, he was amazed by the scope of the success that the Prophet achieved. So one day, one of the merchants who used to travel to Arabia went back to Syria. So the Roman king summoned him to the palace and he told him, tell me, what is special about Muhammad? How could he succeed and bring all these factions, disputing factions together, uniting them? How did he achieve that? He said, yes, I went myself to Medina. And I met him, I went to his mosque. And I know that there were two tribes, Aus and Khazraj. They were fighting for 100 years. 100 years. Their history was stained with the blood, with killing and raids and massacres and plundering. By the time this man arrived into their city, the city of Yathrib and Medina, he brought the two factions together. He put an end to the feud and the fighting. He made them a human being who began respecting each other, embracing each other, sharing the life and the food with each other after being enemies for a long time. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ. Remember the favor of God on you when you were disputing and fighting, and now you became brothers. They shared the same house. Someone who comes from Mecca has no shelter, no place to stay. One of the helpers of the Ansar in Medina will receive him and bring him to his home and tell him, I have two rooms, one for you and one for me. This is your house. Can you find this anywhere today? He brought the discrimination to the end. Today America, with all its military power and economy and technology, America, who wants to bring democracy into the Middle East, could not put an end to discrimination, racial discrimination in America itself. And the Prophet was successful. He brought the Romans and the Africans and the black and the Arabs all together around him. You go to his mosque and you see all the colors, all the languages. Salman comes from Isfahan all the way from Isfahan. He could not speak a proper Arabic. His Arabic was broken. But at the end, the Prophet grants him this accolade. He says to him, Salmanu minna ahlul bayt. Salman, you have become part of my family, part of my blood. Salmanu minna ahlul bayt. This is the beauty of Islam. So the Prophet was successful. Islam began with the three. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second person was Imam Ali, who was with the Prophet from the first day. And the third one a female, a very good, devout, committed, honest, sacrificing female, and that is Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Ridwanullahi alayha. And today Muslims worldwide are 1.3 billion. This is because the Prophet was sincere in his mission. So this was the challenge faced by the Prophet, and he was successful. The war against polytheism, against shirk and paganism. The second war was the war of Imam Ali alayhi salam, between the years 35 Hijri until 40 Hijri, almost 5 years. Against hypocrisy and defection. Soon after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the bulk of the community turned back on their heels, according to the Quran. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ. You turn, you make a U-turn. Go into the wrong direction. إِنْ قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. On your heels. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرُ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Imam Ali took upon himself to restore the glory of Islam, to bring back Islam to its originality, authenticity, the real Islam, the Islam which was mentioned in this book and in the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there were many attempts to marginalize Ahlul Bayt, put them aside. They started a campaign of distortion against Ahlul Bayt. Some people were paid money to go to the pulpit and curse Imam Ali. At one story, just one mentioning one story here, a man comes to Al-Hajjaj, the governor of Bani Umayyah, and tells him, I am a very important person, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Why you are important? Because I am a famous speaker. Whenever I ascend the pulpit, stand on the podium, In any sermon that I give, at the end of that sermon, I have to conclude the sermon with the curse of Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. I curse them. Al-Hajjaj said to him, yes, you are a great man indeed. Great man. This is where Muslim reached to this point. That the family of the Prophet who are mentioned in the Quran, chapter 33, verse 33, وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا, to absolutely purify and sanctify you, are being cursed on a Muslim pulpit. Muslim, not an un-Muslim. And the Prophet prophesied this to Imam Ali. He said to him, Ya Ali, سَتُقَاتِلُ عَلَى التَّأْوِيلِ كَمَا قَاتَلْتَ عَلَى التَّنْزِيلِ. Oh Ali, as you were fighting bravely to establish Islam, after me you're going to fight to implement the authentic Islam after me. Ya Ali, satuqatil al-makithina wal-qasitina wal-mariqin. O Ali, after me, I am telling you right away. And this is many years before these incidents took place. Ali, you're going to fight three groups. Makithin, violators. Mariqin, the renegades, defectors, والقاسطين, seceders. Three groups. The Jamal, the Safin, and the Kharijite in Nahrawan. The Jamal began. As soon as Ali became Khalifa, people came to him. People seized his house, putting him under pressure to accept the leadership after the murder of Uthman. Once he became Khalifa, legitimate Khalifa of the Muslims, that lady instigated the war against him. Yes, Lady Aisha, the wife of the Prophet. And if you want to know about her, not from a historic book, not a book of history, I refer you to this book. We all accept, all Sunnis and Shias, we accept that this book is perfect. This is the Holy Quran. Go to chapter 66 tonight. Read verses 1 to 5. 1 to 5. You're going to find something very important about this lady. Allah is chiding her, reprimanding her and rebuking her in this book. In this book, Surah Al-Tahrim. Go and find it yourself. We have to know how to research our Islamic history from authentic sources. So this lady was emotionally rallying the people against Imam Ali, the people in Medina, the people of Iraq, the people elsewhere. This lady who was supposed to stay indoors and keep the Muslim united because of a long standing jealousy with this man from day one. She didn't like him. So now when he becomes the fourth, not even the first or the second, the fourth Khalifa, she doesn't like that. With the help of other orchestrators like Talha, Az-Zubair, they waged a war against Imam Ali. They took thousands of people all the way from Medina to Basra in southern Iraq. And there, in that battle of the camel, almost 20 or even some historians put the number at 30,000 people were massacred and killed. 30,000 Muslims. So this was the first challenge Imam Ali faced. Ya Ali, satuqatil an-nakithin. Those were the people who breached and violated their covenant with Imam Ali. They gave allegiance to him, bay'ah, and then they violated the bay'ah. Immediately after that, Uthman orchestrated another public mutiny in Syria. He was the governor of Syria. And he started invading the Iraqi territories, the province of Al-Anbar, killing innocent people there. And he did not submit to the authority, legitimate authority of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. And again, there was another war, the Battle of Saffin. Again, many other people were killed in that battle. And they imposed arbitration upon Imam Ali, and he had to accept it because he had very few supporters. No one was willing to stand with him. So he accepted the arbitration, and this is how the battle ended. But the war continued by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. A group of the people who were with Imam Ali, very fanatic supporters who were with Imam Ali in the Battle of Saffin, who did not like the arbitration, they refused to submit to Imam Ali. They became to none as the Kharijite, Khawarij, seceders. Again, those people, few days later, they waged another war against Imam Ali by the name of Nahrawan. Imam Ali alayhi salam has a beautiful saying regarding those people, those ignorants who think that they understand or they have more faith than the commander of the faithfuls. Imam Ali says, قَصَمَ ظَهْرِي إِثْنَانْ عَالِمٌ مُتَحَتِّكْ وَجَاهِلٌ مُتَنَسِّكْ. Most of our disasters in life come from two sources, two. A leader, spiritual, religious leader who is immoral and shameless, alimun mutahattik, who does not have piety or the fear or reverence to God in his heart. He takes advantage of religion. Religion for him is money making, is a business, not a responsibility, not a message. This is an immoral alim, shameless alim, who brings shame on Islam. And we have plenty of them today. Plenty of them. Who work with the authorities. If you go to Saudi Arabia today, you will find plenty of them there. Appeasing the royal family. Not appeasing Allah. Not implementing this book. And other places, of course. I gave you only one example. This is one. Alimun mutahattik. The second one. Wajahilun mutanassik. An ignorant who is overzealous, and yet he wants to become more religious than God. More religious than Prophet Muhammad. And he tries to teach you Islam. But he's ignorant. He doesn't know Islam himself. And those the Khawarij, and a contemporary example of those were Taliban. Taliban, I think they were religious. They were religious because the beard, when it is 3 meters long, this means that the man is religious. But religiosity without sanity, without understanding, without sanity. And this is why they made Afghanistan and other areas, and today they are infiltrating inside Iraq, unfortunately. The Taliban-minded people today, we have them in Baghdad. You can see them very visible in the streets of Baghdad. Another disaster after Saddam Hussein. The Wahhabis, the fanatics. Jahilun mutanassik. Those two, they broke my back. They inflicted the utmost damage at me and at Islam. So the Kharijites were part of this second group. Overzealous, ignorant, religious people. So they fought with Imam Ali. They told him, you have to carry on the fighting. So these were the three challenges. But again, Imam Ali was successful. Then we come to the third war in Islam, in the history of Islam, which took place in the year 61 Hijri. And this is the Battle of Ashura. And this was the war between Imam Hussein alayhi salam against falsification and the distortion of Islam. The distortion. Tashweeh, the distortion of Islam. Banu Umayyah, who spearheaded this campaign from day one, Abu Sufyan, tried to destroy and obliterate Islam, eradicate Islam when he was in Mecca. So he led the campaign of torture against the Prophet and his companions. Open any Islamic history book, read about the time where the Muslims were in Mecca, and you will find out how much the Muslims suffered because of Bani Umayyah, the whole clan, and Abu Sufyan, Sakhr ibn Harb in particular. How many people he killed? Sumayyah and Yasir and others and others, and plundered Muslims' wealth. And he drove the Prophet out of Mecca. Prophet came to Medina, took refuge in Medina. But still, through military campaigns, Abu Sufyan and his family continued his vicious aggression on Islam. He waged the Battle of Badr, followed by Uhud, followed by Ahzab. One day Abu Sufyan comes and meets with his family members and tell them, تلقفوها يا بني عبد شمس تلقف الكرة فوالذي يحلف به أبو سفيان ما من جنة ولا نار. Oh my clan, my dear friends. He was blind at the end of his life. Take the khilafah, the leadership, the succession to the Prophet, play with it as a soccer ball. I swear by God, there is no hereafter, there is no paradise. Everything Muhammad mentioned to us is false. Enjoy this life, have fun. And this is what they did. Khilafah for them was not responsibility, was not succession to Prophet Muhammad. Khilafah for them, for Bani Umayyah, was domination of the Muslims, exploitations of Islam. This is how they dealt with the Khilafah. And he kept his campaign, his crusade against the Muslims until only few months before the death of the Prophet, brothers and sisters. Read the history of Islam and find out yourself. What year did Abu Sufyan accepted? In fact, Islam was imposed on him. Because during the conquest of Mecca, he was captured, he was taken to the Prophet as a captive, Abu Sufyan, during Fatah Mecca, the conquest of Mecca. And this is only a few months before the departure of the Prophet. And he went, he stood in front of the Prophet. The Prophet said to him, Ya Abu Sufyan, ama ana laka an tashhada anni Rasulullah. Isn't it time for you now to concede, to confess that I am the Prophet of God, the Apostle of God? He said, this is so painful for me. I really cannot. I cannot conceive this. You, the Prophet of God? No, it's hard for me. I can't accept this. Once he said this, some of the companions, included Umar, if you read the history of Islam, raised their swords. They wanted to behead him. The Prophet said, no, no, no. This is not the time of swords here. No. Leave him. So he accepted Islam forcefully. Ammar ibn Yasir says about Bani Umayyah, لَمْ يُسْلِمُوا وَلَكِنْ اسْتَسْلَمُوا. They never embraced Islam wholeheartedly. They surrendered. Islam was imposed on them. And since Bani Umayyah, they tried hard to destroy Islam from outside, and they failed. Now, it was an opportunity for them to infiltrate Islam from inside, from within. Like the termites started corroding Islam from inside. And they were successful in their mission. They were very successful, Bani Umayyah, in their mission. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan started the campaign of terror against the Muslims. Many of the companions of the Prophet were killed at the hand and by the order of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. Today, some, not all, some small group of Sunnis, they accuse the Shias that you curse the Sahaba, you disrespect the Sahaba. Wait a second. Let's read the history of Islam. Who was the very first person in the history of Islam, ever in the history of Islam, to order the speakers and the Muslim leaders and the preachers to curse Ali ibn Abi Talib publicly on the Islamic pulpit? Who was he? It was Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan himself. He was the first one who initiated this tradition of curse and profanity. Was Muawiyah. During the time of Imam Ali. During the time of Imam Ali. أَلَا بَرِئَةِ الذِّمَّةِ مِمَّنْ يَرْوِي مَنْقَبَةً لِأَبِي تُرَابِ. Anyone who mentions the name of Ali with goodness, anyone who mentions some little good thing about this man, he would lose his immunity. He will have no safety. بَرِئَةِ الذِّمَّةِ. To the extent that in the Islamic history, if you read, that at certain time, Imam Ali's name was a taboo. People could not mention him. People had to use, referring to him, they had to use his nickname, Abu Zainab. Abu Zainab, referring to Imam Ali. It was a crime mentioning his name. This was during the time of Muawiyah. We were not the people who cursed the companions. We respect the companions of the Prophet. We respect them. If you ask me what is my opinion, what is the Shia's opinion regarding the companion, our opinion is the opinion of this book, the Quran. This book. This book sometimes praises some of them and sometimes criticizes and rebukes. And we have two chapters. One, Surah Al-Munafiqun, the hypocrites. Read Surah Al-Munafiqun. And the second, chapter 9, Surah At-Tawbah, repentance. وَمِمَّنْ حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ منافقون ومن أهل المدينة مردوا على النفاق لا تعلمهم نحن نعلمهم. Even the Prophet did not know all the hypocrites around him. So the Quran does criticize them. And we follow the tradition of the Quran. However, so the companions of the Prophet were demonized and marginalized during the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Many of them were killed and massacred. Hijr ibn Uday, Maytham al-Tammar, Rushayd al-Hajri, and many others, including Imam Hassan alayhi salam. When Muawiyah wanted to poison Imam Hassan and get rid of him, he sent a message to the Roman king in Syria, asking for a special poison. The Roman king answered him. He said, "Your Majesty Muawiyah, this poison is prohibited in our culture. We don't use it. It's forbidden. It's so severe, we don't use it against the humans." Muawiyah sent him a message, "O Your Highness, this poison I am going to use it against the son of the Prophet who intimidated your kingdom," meaning Imam Hassan, the son of Rasulullah, who intimidated the Romans, and he fought against the Romans. "So give it to me." Muawiyah, the Muslim leader, Amir al-Mu'mineen, shame on the Muslims. Shame on those who love Muawiyah and defend him, because they are blind-hearted. They don't read the history of Islam. They don't read the history of Islam. Today, all the massacres which are taking place in Iraq, the car bombings, suicide bombings, is done by the followers of Muawiyah and Yazid, not the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Following the path of Yazid and Muawiyah, a Muslim would not go inside a mosque, inside a Husayniyah religious gathering, Islamic masjid, Christian church, and kills innocent people there in the name of God. وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. If someone slay a person for no reason, no justification, as if he had slain the entire humanity. This is the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Unfortunately, Iraq has been stricken by those barbaric, evil doers, the followers of Yazid and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. But we have to pay tribute and respect to our brothers and sisters in Iraq, brothers and sisters. We have to salute them tonight, the eve of Ashura. Despite being surrounded by risk and danger, they still go. They went to the election successfully. They still commemorate Ashura and Imam Hussein with all the killing going on, with all the atrocities against them, decapitation. Still they are steadfast and heroes. May Allah protect them, inshallah. We have to pray for them. We have to pray for the safety of the Iraqis today. We have to pray for the believers there who are standing. We are sitting here in the comfort. We don't realize when security is missed. نَعْمَتَانِ مَجْهُولَتَانِ الصَّحَّةُ وَالْأَمَانِ. Two blessings are missed, unrealized. We don't pay attention to them unless we miss them. One is health and one is security. And when Allah presents His favor, puts His favor on Quraysh, He says, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشٍ إِلَافِهِمْ رَحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. He gave them shelter and security against fear. So we have to pray for their security and safety, brothers and sisters. Always pray. Every day in your prayers. Let's have Iraq the land of the prophets. Ibrahim the patriarch was born there. The prophets of Allah passed through Iraq. Six infallible imams are buried there in that land. The land of the prophets. The land of scriptures and messengers and divine messages. We have to pray for it. However, here it's the night of Ashura. So, what happened? Why we need Ashura, brothers and sisters? Why Imam Hussein gave his blood? I mentioned to you the history of Islam in a brief, and the challenges that the Prophet met, Imam Ali and Imam Hussein. Banu Umayyah infiltrated Islam, posed a great danger. Even the Prophet did his best to rehabilitate them, but to no avail. The Prophet granted them forgiveness. مَنْ دَخَلَ دَارَ أَبِي سُفْيَانَ فَهُوَ آمِنٌ. Granted them general amnesty. He even appointed some of them in the government. He gave them money, gifts, but to no avail. It did not work. They insisted on their animosity. وَالشَّجَرَةَ الْمَلْعُونَةَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. One day the Prophet in his dream, he sees a very terrible dream. He sees some monkeys are playing on his minbar in Medina, going up and down. He wakes up terrified. Monkeys? Apes? What does that mean? He asks Jibreel. Jibreel informs him that after you, this pulpit, this minbar is going to be occupied by Bani Umayyah, the cursed family in the Quran. الشَّجَرَةَ الْمَلْعُونَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. And this is what happened. Therefore the Prophet declared publicly and openly, الْخِلَافَةُ مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَىٰ آلِ أَبِي سُفْيَانِ. Succession, khilafah, leadership in Islam is forbidden to this family. They have no right. But they succeeded. They fooled the masses. Today we have some leaders who fooled their own masses. They stay in power for 30, 40, 50 days. And some people do listen to them and worship them and respect them. And this is what happened. Don't tell me how Muawiyah managed to come to power. When we are absent-minded, when we are asleep. أَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يُعْمَلُ بِهِ وَالْبَاطِلُ لَا يَتَنَاهَا عَنْهُ. When everyone is busy with his own progression and his own happiness and his own welfare, he doesn't care about the fate of the Muslims. This is what happens. The battle of Ashura lasted for only half a day, brothers and sisters. Just maybe 6 or 7 hours, no more. But this battle is eternal, perpetual, immortalized today. Today every land, today this struggle, the struggle of justice versus injustice, the struggle of truth versus falsehood, the struggle of light versus darkness continues, continuing. It began at the first day of our existence, the first day that Allah created the earth. What happened on that day? With the creation of the earth, with our existence, what happened? Cain killed Abel, the children of Adam. From that day, this struggle began, and it will continue. It's going on today. Today you find it almost every day in Iraq and other places, in Palestine, other places on earth. And it will continue until the end of this life. It never ceases, never. And we have to choose either this side or that side. The battle of Ashura is a continuous battle. This is why there is a very famous saying, كُلُّ أَرْضٍ كَرْبَلَا وَكُلُّ يَوْمٍ. Karbala is not confined to a small geographic area south of Baghdad. It's not only there. Karbala is everywhere. Whenever you find an oppressor oppressing, abusing, terrifying his own community, and you find resistance, then that land is the land of Karbala. And that day is the day of Ashura. Brothers and sisters, what happened? Why? Why Imam Hussein gave his blood? Let me conclude here. We have to transfer you to the land of Karbala tonight. We have an appointment with Imam Hussein there. We need to see him with our hearts. We need to listen to his cries. We need to envisage this. Brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein was requested by the governor of Medina to pay allegiance to Yazid after the death of Muawiyah. Yazid was appointed by his father to succeed him. And an urgent message was sent to the governor of Medina that you have to summon Imam Hussein to the palace and take his allegiance to the newly appointed leader, self-appointed leader. Imam Hussein went there, there was some deliberation and discussion, came out and he said, Inna ahlu bayt al-nubuwah. I'm not an ordinary person. I belong to the household of apostleship, prophethood. I am the son of the prophet. I am supposed to implement the authentic Quran. وَيَزِيدْ رَجُلٌ فَاسِقٌ شَارِبٌ لِلْخَمْرِ قَاتِلٌ لِلنَّفْسِ الْمُحْتَرَمَةِ وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايُعُ مِثْلِهِ. Yazid is a man who is so mired in crimes. Yazid is a man that he committed every imaginable illicit deed and a crime. He's so dissolute, rogue, godless, evil personified. He's the embodiment of every wickedness and cruelty. This is Yazid. And someone like me cannot pay his hand in the hand of Yazid and accept him as my leader. Death is closer to me than paying allegiance to this man. I am the son of Rasulullah. Imagine if Imam Hussein goes to Yazid and congratulate him and tell him, Yazid, well done, you are my leader. What will happen? What will happen to the earth? What will happen to Islam? Why Christianity today dissipated? Why? What happened? Why Allah had to send a new messenger, a new book? What was wrong with the Christianity? What was wrong with Judaism? Because it was disintegrated. When it falls into the hand of the corrupt, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. In Christianity, Christians do not follow the authentic message of Jesus عليه السلام. Today, look at the priests. I can see them in America. The richest business in America is to become a priest, believe me. So if you are looking for a job, come to America, be a priest. The most expensive homes. This is why in America, one of the archdioceses in California paid $100 million to the victims of sexual abuse. $100 million. Imagine. Allahu Akbar. And still people go to church and support the church and pay donation to the church. It fall apart. Because they followed the creed, not of Jesus, of certain monks and priests. And this was the fate of Islam. This was happening during the time of Muawiyah and Yazid. People were not worshipping God. People were worshipping the Khalifa. At the time of paganism, people were idol worshippers, worshipping idols which is made of stones and bricks. At the time of Yazid and Muawiyah, people were worshipping the same idols, but made of blood and flesh this time. A new idol worshipping. And Imam Hussein took it upon himself. My blood, I'll give it. Not only my blood. The blood of my family, my children, my 6-month-old baby. As you're going to hear tonight, I'll give it. If this is what is requested, to revive the Muslims, to revamp Islam, to refresh Islam, to bring it back to life, resuscitate the Muslim nation, who was almost dead at that time. The sacrosanct blood of Imam Hussein was needed, and only the blood of Imam Hussein was needed at that time. Because other blood would not work. His blood is authentic. His blood which runs in his veins and arteries is part of the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. The blood which runs in his veins is part of my blood. You cannot hire a person to do the job for you. It has to be someone from within the family, the tradition. And this is how Imam Husayn was successful. Yes, his blood was much needed. The only solution left for the Muslims to survive at that time, the only solution was to give the blood of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn on the day of Ashura. In a such tragic manner. When Imam Husayn was asked by many of his family members and friends in Medina, why do you go to Iraq? Why putting yourself at risk? Imam Husayn has one answer. Sha'allahu an yarani qatila. It is the ordination, the decree of divine. The divine decree that I have to be killed on that soil. And this is the only surgery needed to bring Islam back to life. The only surgery is to have the blood of Imam Hussein staining the land of Karbala. And the blood of the baby, Abdullah al-Radi' and Ali al-Akbar, al-Qasim, al-Abbas, Habib ibn Mudahir, and others and others and others. Let's now transfer our hearts and minds, brothers and sisters. Imagine yourself surrounding Imam Hussein. Just imagine yourself today, you are in Karbala at the 10th of Muharram year 61 Hijri. Standing and watching the two camps. The camp of Yazid, who rallied at least 30,000 fighters, and the camp, the small, beautiful camp of Imam Hussein, was about 75 men and about 83 women and children. This is the total number of the camp of Imam Hussein. First, let's greet Imam Hussein and say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Send your peace to him. Be with him. Send your heart to him. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina'ik wa anakhat birahlik. Alaykum minni jami'an salamullahi abadan. Ma baqitu wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar wa la ja'alahu Allahu akhir al-ahdi minni li ziyaratikum. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn. وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. O Abu Abdullah, may the peace and the blessing of Allah be upon you on such a night, the eve of Ashura, the last night of your physical being and the very first night of your eternal existence, of your immortalization. This is your first night, Ya Aba Abdullah. We greet you on such a night. I can see you now sitting in your tent during the night of Ashura, preparing your soul, your sword, يُصْلِحُ سَيْفَهُ وَيُعَاتِبُ دَهْرَهُ, and reciting this poetry, Ya Dahru Uffin Laka Min Khalili. Ya dahr uffin laka min khalili, kam laka bil ishraqi wal asili, min talibin bihaqqihi qatili, wal dahr la yaqna'u bil qalili. His sister Zainab alayhi salam was in the next tent when she hears Imam Hussein eulogizing himself, declaring that this is my last night. She stands, she goes, distraught. She goes into his tent. Ya thimal al-madin, ya baqiyat al-madin, araka tam'a nafsik, eulogizing yourself, oh my dear brother. What we going to do after you, ya Hussein? You are leaving us for whom? Imam Hussein calms her down, assuaging her, telling her the truth, what will happen.
My grandfather who was better than me, he passed away and he left. My father, my mother Fatima, my brother Hassan. And now it is my turn, Ya Zainab. Ya Zainab, when I brought you from Medina to Karbala, I knew what I was doing. I am depending on you to carry this mission after me, Ya Zainab. Ya Zainab, as soon as I fall down, you will be the leader, Ya Zainab. I do not want you to be distressed. I don't want you to be humiliated. I want you to be lion-hearted. Stand there, gather all the babies and the children. And she answers him, Bala ya Aba Abdullah, I will be there for you. I will be there. I will never disappoint you. I will carry this mission after you. خويا انا بعاني لا داري لك عيالك انا بعاني لا داري لك عيالك وبروحي لسجد لك اطفالك والموت والموت لا يرضى بدالك ترى الروح كل احنا فدالك. And then الامام الحسين on the day of Ashura, after no one was spared, no one was left around him, no companions, no family members, as you heard in the past nights, all of them were gone. He was standing alone there. He came to pay the tributes. He came to bid the last farewell to his family. He stood on the tent. He started shouting, Ya Uftah, Ya Zainab, Ya Ruqayya, Ya Umm Kulthum, Wa Ya Ruqayya, Wa Ya Atika, Wa Ya Rabab. He mentioned their names one after the other. So wonderful man. He pays a personal notice to them, each and everyone. He mentioned their names. عليكن من السلام فهذا آخر الاجتماع وقد قرب منكن الافتجاع. This is my last time that I stand with you and talk to you. It is evident that soon I'm going to leave you and the tragedy will begin, the tragedy in your life. You have to be responsible. O Zainab, O Ruqayya, O Umm Kulthum, O Atika, O Safiya, O Rabab, O Layla. I want you to stand there for the truth. Carry the banner after me. So they gathered around him. خَرَجْنَا مِنَ الْخِيَارِ نَاشِرَاتِ الشُّعُورِ أَحَطْنَا بِالْحُسَيْنِ. They surrounded and circled Imam Hussein from every direction. So Imam Hussein noticed that all of them are there. Some of the women, they come and they put their hand on his arm. Some of them, they hold his leg. But there were little babies who could not reach Imam Hussein since he was on his horse. They put their cheeks on the foreleg of the horse of Imam Hussein, embracing the forelegs of the horse as if they are saying to the horse, please bring us our father, our leader safe. Bring him back. Don't leave him in the battlefield. Suddenly Imam Hussein noticed that there is one wonderful beloved daughter is missing. She's not among those. He turns to his sister, Ukhayya Zainab, Ukhayya Zainab, Aina Azizati Sukaina? Where is my beloved daughter Sukaina? Where is her? She's missing. She said she's inside the tent. Imam Hussein disembarks from his horse. He goes inside the tent. He sees Sukaina sitting, putting her forehead on her knees, and she was sobbing and crying hard. Imam Hussein came to her, embraced her. Azizati, my beloved daughter Sukaina, why do you cry before I go? Please don't do this. Do not break my heart, Sukaina. Don't do this to me. I can't stand seeing you crying and weeping. قالت أبدا استسلمت للموت. You surrender to death. قال بلى وكيف لا يستسلم للموت من لا ناصر له ولا معين. Of course, I missed all my sons, all my children are gone. No one left with me, no one is remained here in my camp. Of course I surrender to death, Ya Sukaina, Allahu Akbar. She said to him, Dad, I have one request. Please fulfill this wish for me. What is it, ya Habibati Sukaina? Dad, I want you to wipe your hand on my head. I want you to treat me as an orphan now. Because soon I am going to be an orphan. سيقول بعدي يا سكينة فيا أعلمي منك البكاء إذا الحمار دحاني لا تحرقي قلبي بدمعك حسرة. Then Imam Hussein assuages her, mitigates her, and then he leaves her inside the tent and he goes, embarks his horse and he goes to the fight. حَمَلَ عَلَى الْمَيْمَنَ أَنَا عَلْأَنَا الْحُسَيْنُ بْنُ عَلِيْهَا لَيْتْ أَلَّا أَنْتَنِي أَحْمِ عِيَالَاتْ أَبِي أَمْضِي عَلَى دِينِ النَّبِي. And then he comes back to the tent to bring serenity and peace to his family, to tell them that I am still alive, I am still with you. He will come back to the tent. Here Imam Hussein came to his sister Zainab. Oh my dear sister Zainab, I need to see the baby, Abdullah. Bring me the baby, the little baby. Imam Hussein took the baby. He was unconscious. He was took by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He cradled him. He kissed him. He embraced him. Then he went to the people there, Bani Umayyah. Ayyuhal qawm. إن كان لي ذنب فما ذنب هذا الربيع. If you see me, if you think I am the criminal, I am the sinner, what is the sin, what is the guilt of this little baby? Don't you see him, how he is suffering, how he is suffering of thirst? Give him something to drink. While the baby was on his father's hand, يا مؤمنين أجركم الله ساعدكم الله. The baby was on his father's hand. حرمل ابن كاهل, one of the archers in Bani Umayyah's army. One of the archers in the army. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein was carrying his baby like this. And the army was watching Imam Hussein. He requested some drink for him. حرمل ابن كاهل. He sends an arrow, it comes to the neck of the baby and slay him. Allahu Akbar. Hamal says, on the day of Ashura, I sent 3 fatal arrows. One comes to the heart of Imam Hussein, pierces the heart of Imam Hussein. The second one comes to the eyes of Abu al-Fadl Abbas. But only one arrow made me cry. Hamal says, I was crying when I sent the arrow to the baby. He took his hand and he was fluttering like a small bird. أخرج يديه من القمار وجعل يرفرف على صدر والده الحسين. Imam Hussein puts his hand underneath the baby. He scooped the blood and then he throws the blood to the sky, to the heaven. Imam Baqir alayhi salam was reported to say that not a single drop of the blood of the baby returned to the earth. Allahu Akbar. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam gives the baby, goes back to the camp. His daughter Sukaina was waiting there. Ya boy, ya you took him to give him some water, my dad, my father. يا بويا طبي إن المعايا خدت بسهم العداية ما أذبوح جبت. And the mother was sitting there, and the mother of Rabab. الله أكبر. يا الجنيت بالظلمة لالي عقبك بقيت وحش الليالي. أنا لدورا على يميني وشمالي وحزب المهد والمهد خالي. Again Imam Hussein said another farewell to his family. While he was heading to the battlefield, he heard from his back a female voice coming from the back, fainted and feeble, saying to him, أخي حسين طفلي قليلا. Wait for me, just a second wait before you go. He turned his face, he saw his sister Zainab coming out of the tent. She said to him, "Please Hussein, I need to share something important with you." She took him, she asked him to dismount his horse and come inside the tent. She took him inside the tent. She said to him, "My beloved brother Hussein, open your chest for me." He opened his shirt for her. She kissed him here in his chest. And she smelt him in his neck here. And she turned to the direction of Medina. She said, "Ummah Fatima, Ummah Fatima, O Mother Fatima, لقد أرجعت الوديعة وأديت الأمانة." I fulfilled the promise I made with you, Fatima. Imam Hussein asked her, what sort of promise is this? She said, "When I was a little baby, playing in the house, one day my mother Fatima, before her death, she called me, 'Zainab, come here, I want to share something important for me with you, but please promise me that you're going to fulfill this need and this desire for me.' What is it, my beloved mother?" She said to me that your brother Hussein, one day you're going to find him helpless, alone in the battlefield. Once you see him like that, I want you to kiss him on my behalf. Kiss Hussein on my behalf. Now I want it before you go to the battlefield to fulfill this wish for my father, for my mother Zahra alayhi salam." Again, Imam Hussein went to the battlefield. You're going to hear the whole story tomorrow, inshallah. But let me conclude with these words, brothers and sisters. He went back. He was fighting with full energy. Lion-hearted Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Al-Mawt awla min wukub al-aari, wal-aaru awla min dukhul al-naari. They run. They are dispersed until Imam Hussein alayhi salam was so tired and overstrained. So he stood to take some rest while Imam Hussein was standing in the battlefield. Brothers and sisters, one of the enemies, he hurled him with a stone. The stone hit the Imam on his forehead. His forehead was bleeding. Imam took up his shirt to clean the blood. وَإِذَا بِسَهْمِ الْمُحَدَّدِ Another archer sent the Imam with a three-pronged arrow, which came and pierced the heart of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Pierced the heart of Imam Hussein. The blood gushed out like a drain pipe. Imam Hussein puts his hand underneath the blood. One time he sends it to the sky. The other time he stains his head, his forehead, his face, his beard with that blood. And he said, "Hakada al-Allah. Hakada al-Allah wa ana mukhaffafun alayya bidami. Maqsoobun alayya haqqi." While Imam Hussein was standing there, one of the enemies in Bani Umayyah's camp, he comes there and he hits the Imam with the stone on his head. Aina al-Munadi wa Imama wa Husayna. Imam could not sit anymore. At this moment his horse came, was roaming around the Imam, encircling the Imam, defending the Imam. Banu Umayyah wanted the army king to take the horse away. He started kicking them. Umar ibn Sa'd said to them, "Let's wait and see what this horse is going to do." While he felt secure enough, the horse came back to the rider, to Imam Hussein. He started roaming about him, neighing, and then he puts his forehead, staining his forehead with the blood of Imam Hussein, and shouting loud, "Al-Imam al-Baqir yaqul, kana yaqul, al-zalima al-zalima, min ummatin qatalat ibn binti nabiha." Neighing loud, going to the camp. Suddenly Zainab alayhi salam saw the horse coming to her. The head of the horse overstained with the blood of Imam Hussein. The saddles are empty, twisted. She knows that Imam Hussein is there in the battlefield. Kharajat Zainab. She and the rest of the sisters from the tent, shouting and screaming, "Wa Husayna, wa Muhammada, وعليا خويا أنا لحقتك على ريحة الخوة على ريحة الخوة دبتني على القبر بقوة أخويا عفتني بقاع الشلوة بديرة غرب ما هي مروة أفاطم أفاطم لو خلت الحسين مجايد تلايد وقد مات عطشانا بشط فراياتي
فاطم عنده وأجريت دمع العين في الوجلات أجركم الله.